Whenever the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples, on a number of occasions, he gave them very direct commands. For instance, in the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 9, speaking to the disciples, looking up, out upon the multitude, he said to them, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." He gave them the very direct command to pray ye. They were to intercede. They were to lift their hearts to God and to pray about the matter. Then in the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, often referred to as the portion of the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples after his resurrection, said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Here is the mandate of Christ. Here is his commission to his blood-bought people, that we are to take the gospel, its message, into the four-flung corners of the world. In the Gospel of Luke, in the chapter 24, the Lord Jesus reminded his disciples of the need to be empowered, to have the power of the Holy Ghost, that as they would go out into the four corners of the world, and as they would take that message of the gospel, that they needed the power of the Spirit of God. The Lord said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." How we need that same power, the power of the Holy Ghost. And of course, our service, our ministry will be barren unless the Lord gives to us that dynamic power. Then in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 11, the Lord Jesus, we're told, spoke to his disciples about the need to remember his death. We read there, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" These four commands were not only given to the disciples, they are directives that we need to follow and obey today. Pray ye, go ye, tarry ye, do ye. Throughout the scriptures, the Lord himself emphasizes the need for us as his redeemed people to remember him. This is something that we need to do. We're instructed to do, to remember the Lord, to meditate upon who the Lord is, to think upon the Lord daily. And this morning, we're going to consider this subject, a daily remembrance. I want us to think about and to consider some aspects of the Lord that we need to consider daily. First one being, we need to think daily upon the greatness of our God. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Exodus and the chapter 20. And here in Exodus chapter 20, we have the portion that details for us the Ten Commandments, the law of the Lord. And here in Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 8, we're reading here about the fourth commandment. And the Lord, speaking to his people, said to them in verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now the first four commandments tell us about our duty towards God. Man's duty toward his Creator. The second table of the law, the commandments 5 to 10, instructs us of our duty towards each other. So the first four, man's duty towards God. The second group, man's duty towards his fellow man. Now here in verse 11, we're told about the greatness of our God. We are reminded of the fact that the God whom we come to worship and we come before, that he is the Creator and the Maker of all things. He is the one who just had to speak and it was done. In 6 days, six literal days, 24-hour periods of time, in that time, the Lord in 6 days made all things. And here we're told to remember the Sabbath day. That is because there is a danger that we would forget that special day. That we would not set it aside. The Lord, he is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord Omnipotent. The gods of the heathens, they are but the works of man's hands. They are but the imagination of man's minds, a figment of his imagination. Statues and idols, having eyes but cannot see, having ears but cannot hear, having hands but cannot touch, having mouths but cannot speak. But we come before the one who is the true, the living God. The one who is the almighty, the all-powerful one. And we are reminded that we need to come before him daily and to think upon his greatness. Now, as we think upon the greatness of our God, it brings us to consider the greatness of our Savior. You think of the power that were in the words of Christ. Think of how he spoke to the lame man, the man who had no walk, who couldn't walk right. He spoke to that man, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately, he was able to walk. "Come see the Lord," as he spoke to Lazarus. "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came back to life. "View him, touch the leper. I will be thou clean." And immediately, the leper was made whole and cured of his disease. The Lord Jesus, he is the all-powerful, omnipotent Savior. He is the Almighty. He is the God-man. We are to remember that nothing is, therefore, too hard for our God. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. He is the high and holy, the lofty one, the one who inhabits and who dwells in eternity. Nehemiah was a man who daily thought upon the Lord's greatness. He thought upon the strength and the mighty power of God. We're told in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, unto the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." And there Nehemiah was encouraging the Lord's people that despite the opposition, despite all the problems and the difficulties that they faced, there was a work that needed to be done. And he encouraged them, don't look at the enemy. Don't focus on the opposition. Lift your eyes toward heaven. Think of the God who is able to do all things. The God who is the Almighty One. Remember the Lord. Remember who he is. Think of what he has done. And our vision likewise needs to be focused upon the Lord. We are to think and reflect daily upon the greatness of our God. But we ought also daily to remember the grace of God. Writing to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul spoke to them about the need to remember and to focus on the grace of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And there, writing to the believers, he encouraged them, think of the riches that you have in Christ. Consider your blessed inheritance. And as the Lord's people, how rich and how wealthy we really are. We have a glorious inheritance reserved for us in heaven that does not fade away. There are times whenever I'm on the road and I'm driving and I like to spend time listening to sermons and also to interceding and praying and seeking the Lord. You know, there are times whenever you're going about and it's overwhelming when you think of what the Lord has done. When you think of God's mercy and you think of God's grace and you begin to put things into perspective and you put in order those things that the Lord has done for you and you begin to count your blessings. I remember one day in particular, driving down the road, and I was reduced to many tears as I thought of where the Lord had brought me from, how he had saved me, saved my wife, blessed us with our children, saved our children, blessed us with our family. And it was just so overwhelming. And I just shouted out, Lord, I'm the richest man on earth. I have a great wealth. When I think of your grace, and to our shame, there are times when we do lose sight of the grace of God. Sadly, we tend to forget just what the Lord has done for us. That unmerited favor that brought us to Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, the Lord warned his people, not just once or twice, but on numerous occasions, time after time, he warned them of the danger of forgetting him, of turning aside from him. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, here we find the Lord was speaking to his people, reminding them about their past. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and the verse 15, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. We are to remember our past. They were not to forget, you see, their time in Egypt. They were to think about that time when they were slaves. They were in bondage. They were fettered. They couldn't deliver themselves. They hadn't the strength. They haven't the power. They were incapable of bringing about their own freedom. And the Lord was reminding them that all that they had now, all the possessions, it was because of his grace. We too need to remember that we once were held in the bondage of sin. Of ourselves, we could not break the power of that sin in our lives. However, God has given to us something that we do not deserve. His grace, his favor, delivering us, setting us free, transforming us. Can I say to any who are gathered with us this morning, you're not saved, you're not a believer, you're not resting in Christ. You of yourself, you have not got the ability, the strength, nor the power to deliver yourself from the power of your sin. You are without strength. The Bible says that you are hopeless, that you are helpless. You personally need Christ. There is only one who can set you free from the penalty and the power of your sin. His name is Jesus. The Apostle Paul, writing about his own conversion, said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul recognized it was God's unmerited favor towards him. Amazing Grace is one of the most recognizable songs in the English-speaking world. Penned by John Newton, published in 1779, its message is that of one of forgiveness and redemption for guilty, vile sinners. It was the personal testimony of one who had lived and was far away from God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, spiritually blind, but now I see. We are to remember the past, where the Lord has brought us from. We are to think about our present as we think of the grace of God, that it is the grace of God that sustains us and that keeps us on a daily basis. Then we are to think about our prospect. The great hope that we have as believers in Christ, resting upon His grace. 'Tis grace has led us safe thus far. 'Tis grace will lead us home. Everything that we have and are and ever will be is due to the grace of God that has triumphed in our hearts and lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in the passage that we were reading from, and the verse 5, we're told here that the Lord reminded His people of the need to love Him, to serve Him, that He not only desires their worship, but He demands it. After all, they belong to Him. He had paid the price. He had redeemed them. He had brought them out. They owe to Him everything. And the Lord demands the first place, the preeminent place. The Word of God, as we read, is to be upon our mouths. It's to be in our hearts. We are to testify to our children, to our families, the generation to come, about the grace of God. Here in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 11, the Lord reminds His people that everything they had obtained, it was because of His grace. He had given it to them. Notice in verse 10 that the Lord speaking to them, that when they come into the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. In other words, you didn't build these cities. I give them to you. Houses full of all good things. You didn't fill them. Wells dig. You didn't dig them. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. And He was reminding them, think of the grace that I've bestowed upon you, my many blessings. They were to remember what the Lord had done. For in verse 12, the Lord, speaking to them, spoke of the danger. Then beware. Take note of this. Underscore it. Write it down. Beware. Lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Can I say that that is exactly what took place and what happened? As they went into the promised land, as they inherited these goodly possessions, and as they received the fulfillment of the promise, they forgot that all they had was given to them by God. They didn't remember the Lord. Is it possible to forget the Lord who has blessed us so abundantly? It's not only possible, it's very probable that we forget about the Lord's mercy and grace. We have a heart that is prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Daily we should remember the greatness of our God. We ought to focus upon His grace and remember that grace. Can I say that daily we also need to reflect and think upon the goodness of our God? the Lord's goodness toward us. In the Psalm 14, David, writing, said, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." And we can seek to count our blessings, to put them in order. They are innumerable. Health, strength, soundness of mind, food and clothing, all the temporal blessings in life that we so richly and freely enjoy. God has been good to us. You must testify to that fact. The Lord who has redeemed us, he is the one who daily loadeth us with benefits. We think of our daily provision. He is the one who maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And of course, that reminds us and speaks to us of the common grace that is bestowed upon all mankind, saved and unsaved, that common grace in being good to man. Daily, we also should remember the gift of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let me say, there should never, never be a day in our lives when we fail to thank the Lord for the gift of his Son. Never let there be a day in the life of your walk with God, dear child of God, that you fail to praise God for Calvary. It was the Savior's love for lost, guilty sinners that took him all the way to the cross at Calvary. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Every Remembrance Day causes me to think of the heartbreak that my mother felt whenever I was growing up. When my mother was still alive, she was very upset as she would think about her youngest brother. She was only a young girl. Whenever her brother, Willie, went off to serve in the Royal Navy in the Second World War, he was a sailor on board the HMS Charybdis. I remember my mother telling me on numerous occasions, and she was brokenhearted. She said, "I kissed him on the cheek, and I never saw his face again." And she said, my mother used to sit at the door daily waiting for her boy to return. But that would never happen. Two Royal Navy ships, the HMS Charybdis and HMS Limbourne, were sunk as a result of enemy action at sea on the 23rd of October 1943. They'd been taking part in an operation called Operation Tunnel. It was off the north coast of Brittany, south of the Channel Islands. 464 men on board the Charybdis lost their lives. 107 of the crew were rescued. Further 40 crewmen from the HMS Limbourne also died on that fateful day. My mother, in thinking of her brother, had a photo that he sent from his time when he was at sea, and also the only letter that he would send to his dear mother, of course, which was my grandmother. I have the letter here with me today, and it's a very moving letter. When you think that this was the only letter that she ever received from her son, and you see the courage in the face of trouble, conflict. For at the very bottom of the letter, he actually penned a drawing of Churchill and then a victory salute. I want to read just a portion of the letter. It speaks of a love of a son, not only for his mother, but also for his country and nation. "Dear mother, hope you are keeping quite well also, Pa and the rest of the family. I suppose you're wondering what is wrong, that you have not received any mail from me this long time. I can't tell you where I have been, but I know you understand I have been pretty busy. Otherwise, you would have heard from me before this. Anyway, no news is good news. Well, Mother, I hope you received the photo I sent on to you. It isn't extra good, but anyway, I know it's better than I usually take. I've not received any mail from home yet, but I'm expecting a big batch some of these days. Well, Mother, I think this is about all. So cheerio. Love, Bill." That was the only correspondence my grandmother received. She got the news one day, the very sad and tragic news, that he'd been killed that fateful day during the war. We think of the sacrifice and the love. But today, as we think of sacrifice and love, the Bible speaks to us of the greatest act of love ever demonstrated and shown, that of the Savior himself. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We think of the gift of God through Christ our Savior, eternal life, the riches of salvation. And God gave his all. Never God gave his Son. Daily we need to remember God's greatness, his grace, his goodness, his gift. But in closing, we also need to think and consider his glory. In the Psalm 97 and the verse 12 we read, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." We are to reflect that the God, the one before whom we have to do, the one who is the creator and the sustainer of all things, who dwells in eternity, that he is the high and the holy one. Isaiah, in the vision that he received of the Lord, we're told that he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his glory filling the temple. He looked up and he saw that the Lord was the Almighty, the Holy One. We are reminded that in our Christian walk, in our lives, that in everything that we say and do, that we are to do it with that chief end and aim, that purpose of glorifying the Lord. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And daily we ought to consider the glory of our God, the reason why we serve him, the reason why we labor, we toil. It is that our Savior will be glorified. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Let us not forget the Lord, but daily let us come before his throne with thanksgiving. Let us bow before his footstool. Adore him. Think upon him. Let us serve him with gladness of heart. Amen. May the Lord take these words and bless them to our hearts this day for Jesus' sake.